Psalm 119, we're going to read the first 16 verses of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I'll praise thee with uprightness of heart, and I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray. Father, we, as always, as we come to the time around your word, seek to bring glory to your name. Father, thou art a wonderful, almighty, majestic God who we worship today. Father, we thank you for our Saviour, who died upon Calvary that we might have eternal life. We thank you that, Father God, in that death upon Calvary, not only did he bring eternal life, but restored the possibility for man to have fellowship with you. And those of us who know Christ as our Saviour have the privilege of having fellowship with the Father and the Son. And Father, we pray today as we take some time to come aside to study your word yet again. Lord, I would ask that you would quieten our hearts, that you would prepare our hearts to receive your word. That, Lord God, that you would speak to us through your word today. May each of us be moved by its truth. May none of us leave, Father God, unaffected by the word of God today. For your word, Father God, is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the very joints and marrow, to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So search our hearts, we pray today, Lord. And may we seek from you, Father, that which you'd have for us to learn. Take me, Father, now. Empower me and enable me to preach your word. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, many people today suffer from loneliness. But loneliness does not have to be an enemy. It can be a friend. You know, David was, as a young boy, was a young shepherd boy. And we've seen that during this week. He was a young shepherd. And as a young shepherd, he spent many lonely hours on the hills outside of Bethlehem looking after sheep. I mean, shepherding was a little bit different than sheep farming today. There was no fences. There was no of the things involved in sheep farming. For the most part, what shepherds did was they sat upon hills looking over their sheep, making sure that there was no enemies, no wolves, no lions, no bears coming up to steal the sheep. And so David would spend many hours sitting on the hills outside of Bethlehem, simply watching over his father's sheep, and he had much time to himself. None like us, David had plenty of solitude. And it was this solitude that helped David develop his passion for God. We've seen that David was a man after God's own heart. We saw that David had a heart of integrity. We saw that David was a man of humility. And yesterday, we saw that David was a valiant man, or a man of valor, a man of courage. Now today, we're going to consider that David was a man of solitude. A man of solitude. It was that solitude that helped him develop a passion for God. He used his time, when he was alone with the sheep, to develop a deep relationship with God. To spend time meditating upon God's word and upon God's works. And you and I need to develop a passion for God. We need to find some time of solitude in each of our days, so that you and I can contemplate God's works and God's word. And God's person. We need solitude to meditate upon His word and upon His works. And our society today knows little about solitude. You know, we're surrounded by entertainment. We're surrounded by action, by bright lights, by sounds that earlier generations knew nothing about. In fact, if you and I were able to be transported back to David's day, we were to go and sit on that mountain, on those hills outside of Bethlehem with him, you and I would probably be overwhelmed by the silence. Just think about it. In David's day, there were no factories humming along. There were no cars roaring down the streets. There was no engines cranking out a noise. There was no aeroplanes droning above. There was no trains rumbling through the towns. There was no radios, no telephones, no iPads, no iPods, no any other device you can think about. CD players, DVD players, they didn't exist. And furthermore, there were fewer people than there are today. Craig, an almost eerie silence by modern standards. Men had both silence and time to think. And meditation and solitude, therefore, a major part of the lives of the people of yesteryear. And David used the solitude that he had to get to know his God. Is it any wonder that David had a passion for God? It's because he spent time alone with his God. When you read his Psalms, you realize that David had a deep passion for his God. And in our last lesson, we noticed that David's courage was in part because of his passion for his God. So how do we develop a passion for God? As I said, David had a passion for God, but how did he develop that passion? How did he go about becoming as passionate as he was for his God? How did he grow in such a love relationship with his God that when Goliath stood up to defy the armies of the living God, it caused David's blood to boil so much so that he as a young lad would take on the giants when nobody else would? What was it that enabled David to have that passion? Well, I believe Psalm 119 gives us a clue. Psalm 119, even though it's not titled, is believed to have been written by David. Psalm 119 is David's diary, if you like, of his spiritual growth. The psalm begins with David as a young man. He's had a fellowship with God, like Pastor Hine was talking about today, being had a fellowship with God. He was a young man, had a fellowship with God as the psalm begins. And it chronicles for us how he got right with the Lord. and how he developed a deep passion for God. And you read all of the 150 verses, Psalm 119, you see a remarkable journey and a remarkable testimony and a remarkable understanding of the impact of the Word of God upon a person's life. And over and over again, you have reference to the statutes, commandments, the judgments of the Lord, over and over and over again. Now, obviously, we don't have time to study the whole 150 verses of Psalm 119. But the first 16 verses reveal for us the steps to godliness. First, we find that David awoke to the need for a godly passion. And then secondly, we find he followed the blueprint for a godly passion. This morning, we're going to have a look at the first 8 verses. And then tonight, we're going to look at the second 8 verses. We're going to start this morning by firstly seeing that we need, if we're going to have a passion for God, we need to see the need for a godly passion. You see, until you and I recognize or acknowledge that it's important to have a godly passion, you and I will never ever have a godly passion. The first thing we need to realize is that this is what God wants for all of us, that we'd be passionate for Him. That we would have a passion for our God. That we'd have a love for our God. And young people, until you come to the realization that that's where God wants you and I to be, you will never have a passion for God. Too many other things will distract you and keep you away from ever developing a passion for God. And so, first and foremost, we need to see the need for a godly passion like David did here in Psalm 119, verses 1 to 8. Notice, first of all, David's admiration. David's admiration, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They do also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways." In these first 8 verses of Psalm 119, David meets a group of people who are blessed. The word blessed means happy. He meets a group of people who are happy. And what happens is David wants to find out what makes them truly happy. This happiness they had was a different kind of happiness. This was not just an outward show of happiness. This was not a facade of happiness. This was not a pretense of happiness. This was a genuine, heartfelt happiness. And as David met them and spent some time with them, he saw that there was something about them that he wanted. And he admired in them this happiness. Their happiness was so impressive and impressed him so much that he now sets about to find out the secret of their joy. What was it that gave them joy? Because when we talk about biblical happiness, we're talking about a genuine joy. A genuine, heartfelt joy about life and about living and about seeking to serve God. And he's impressed by what he sees, and he wants to find out the secret to the joy. He wanted what all of us want. He wanted to be happy. He wanted to be joyful. He wanted what they had. And so he sets out to find out what was the source of their happiness. David discovers that they were happy, or they were blessed, first of all, because they were undefiled in the way. Look in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. As he investigates these people that are genuinely happy, these people who are genuinely joyful, and he starts to talk to them and starts to find out the source of their happiness, he finds out that one of the things that makes them so happy is that they're undefiled in the way. And the word undefiled there means complete. It means perfect. It means sincere. They enjoyed great joy Because as the New Testament puts it, they kept themselves unspotted from the world. This morning Pastor Hine told us about when he got away from the Lord. And it brought tears to his eyes. There's no joy there in that part of his life. Sadness. Because see, genuine happiness comes from being unspotted by the world. That's where joy is. That's where genuine happiness is found, when we're unspotted from the world. It's Psalm 1:1. It's the man of Psalm 1:1 that we're talking about. Go there with me, please, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the man that David wanted to be like. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that standeth not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The man who is unspotted from the world. How easy it is for us to get defiled in the way. It's easy to become spotted by this world. And young people, this world has a law that wants to drag us away. We are so easily led astray by the things of the world, and the world only defiles us. The world never makes us genuinely happy. It never gives genuine joy. It never gives genuine peace. It never gives genuine satisfaction. It simply brings misery. It has a facade of joy, but not genuine happiness. The world lures us with a promise of happiness, but it hides the hook of sorrow that it brings. It puts the bait out there like you're going fishing, you know, you put a worm on the hook and throw it in, and the fish thinks, wow, some dinner. Only to find that when it eats the worm, that then it's caught on a hook. And that's what the world offers, young people. The world offers you the law of happiness. It offers you the law of joy. It offers you the law of something that is wonderful, that somehow being a Christian you're missing out on. And then you bite it, and what you find is it has a terrible hook in it that brings misery and sorrow and not genuine joy. And you can talk to people like Pastor Hine, and he'll explain to you more about how sorrowful those things are. Don't be fooled by the world. The world's got nothing to offer you. The world doesn't have joy. The world doesn't know what joy is, because genuine joy, blessedness, comes from being unspotted by the world, not by being involved in the world and its practices. You know something, young people? If you've not experienced the world, then you're not missing out on anything. I grew up in a Christian home. And I can honestly say today, I'm so thankful for the things I don't know about. I'm ignorant about some things because I never had to go through them, because I grew up in a Christian home. I got saved when I was 10, and I praise God that my life is free from some of that baggage. And I listen to other Christians talk and the struggles they have even to this day with baggage from their life before they were saved, or baggage from the life when they were saved but they got away from God, and they talk about it, and there's sorrow in their heart. And I stand there and think, I'm so thankful, I don't even understand how painful it is, because I've never been there. I praise God for that. And young people, the world has got nothing to offer you. If you want genuine happiness, then keep yourself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself undefiled. Because one day when you're my age, you'll look back and you'll have no regrets. You'll be able to stand up at camp as a camp leader one day and give your testimony, and you'll be able to say, I have no regrets. Because I praise God that He's enabled me to keep myself undefiled in the way. And that testimony is a great testimony. These people are happy not only because they were undefiled in the way, but secondly, they were happy because they walked in the law of the Lord. Look at the verse 1 again. Blessed are they that are undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. You see, they weren't walking in the way of the world. They were not walking in sin. They were walking in righteousness. They were undefiled in the way because they found themselves walking in habitual holiness. Their walk, their everyday life, was a life of obedience to God. And the only way to be truly happy is to obey the Lord. There is no happier place in life, young people, than in the center of God's will. Remember, God's will is always good. It's perfect and it's acceptable. And I have never found in all of my life, ever since the day I got saved, I have never found in the 40-odd years I've been saved, I have never found that God's will is anything other than good and acceptable and perfect. And I'm never happier than when I'm walking in the center of God's will. They're blessed because they live by God's law. When it talks about who walk in the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord speaks of God's rule, God's standards. It's living by God's rule, living by God's standards, not living by the philosophy of the world or the pull of the flesh, but living by the principles of the Word of God. You know what I've found? I've found that doing God's will is a whole lot better than sinning. Do you know when you do God's will, it never leaves an aftertaste in your mouth of something bitter? But when you sin, it always leaves an aftertaste of bitterness. Doing God's will always leaves you feeling fresh. You know, doing God's will always leaves you feeling unashamed. Doing God's will always leaves you feeling blessed, happy. Doing God's will is more enjoyable than anything the world could ever offer you. I would not trade my life of serving God for anything. Because even with all of its hardships and struggles that pastoring brings, at the end of the day, if somebody else asks me what I'd rather do than what I'm doing, there's nothing else I'd rather do than what I'm doing. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I knew when I was young that God wanted me to preach and be a pastor, because there was nothing else I wanted to do other than this. This was the desire of my heart. And it's the most enjoyable place to be. It is the most blessed place to be. And you know, you get to do things like this as a pastor. You get to come to youth camps and you get to preach to teenagers. And that is a joy of my heart. I love it. There's no better place. There's no happier place than the center of God's will, doing the work of God and in the Word of God. When he says here, who walk in the law of the Lord, the word walk there speaks of having a ritual. Not having a ritual, but having a relationship with God. The walk is talking about a relationship. A way of life. The reason for their happiness, the reason for the happiness of these saints that David observes in Psalm 119 is because they walk in God's law. And they walk in God's company. They have a relationship with God. And that relationship with God causes them to walk in His way, in His law, day and night. And if we're to be blessed or happy, we must walk by God's rule and God's standards so that we may walk with the Lord. God's way is best. The world, as I said, only leaves scars. God's way leaves nothing but joy. They were happy, thirdly, because they keep His testimonies. Look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. So not only are they blessed because they're undefiled in the way and walk in the law of the Lord, but there's a second blessing here. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies. There's a double blessing to those who walk in the way of the Lord. Those whose outward life is supported by an inward zeal for God. When your heart is truly in tune with Almighty God and you have a passion for God and you walk in His way and walk in His law and seek His will, then what you are is you receive this double dose of blessing, so to speak. Blessedness is for those who treasure the testimonies of the Lord. The idea here is those who search the Scriptures, those who sit down and they read God's Word and they study God's Word and they meditate upon God's Word and they memorize God's Word, those who spend some time of some serious quality time with God in the Word of God, they are the ones who are blessed. Those who understand them and love them and continue in them are blessed. Obedience, he's saying, to the Word of God is the road to happiness. You know, I don't know whether I'm strange like this, but I find that the world looks a whole lot brighter when I'm walking in the center of God's will. You know, my wife is good looking. She's a very beautiful lady to me. But you know, my wife even looks more beautiful when my heart is truly rejoicing in God than when it's not. There's just something about being in such a close relationship with the Lord. When you get right there with Him and God is blessing your heart and you're studying His Word and you're walking in obedience to the Word of God, everything looks brighter. Because the face of Almighty God is shining upon you. And we're walking in the center of God's love and we're rejoicing in that, and it's a happy place to be. And you can only keep that which you know. You see, if you don't read God's Word, you don't know what God's will is. And if you don't know what God's will is, you can't do the will of God. So you can only keep that which you know. Therefore, you have to spend time getting to know the truth. Getting to know God's testimonies. And the only way you can do that is by spending time in God's Word. And that's the conclusion that David comes to that we will look at tonight in verses 9 to 16. There's a fourth reason why these people are happy. And that's found at the end of verse 2. And that is because they seek Him with the whole heart. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Those who search God's Word are sure to find they have a desire to know the God of the book. The idea here when it says that and that seek Him with the whole heart, seeking after God implies that these ones desire to enter into a closer fellowship with God every day. That there was a deepening relationship with God. That every day they desired to get to know God more. that their passion for God grew. And the more time they spent with God, the more time they wanted to spend with God. And the more time they spent with God, the deeper their love for God grew, and deeper their passion for God became, and the more radiant their joy on their faces was, and the more happy they were in their hearts. They were truly blessed because they were getting to know the God of the world. They were seeking Him with the whole heart. You see, they were not just reading the Bible for the sake of reading it. They were not just meditating upon the Word of God because they had nothing else to do. They were not just memorizing Scripture because they were doing it for points for some competition they were in. They did it because they wanted to know God, and the only way to get to know their God was to spend time meditating and memorizing and reading and studying the Bible. And as they did that, they got to know their God. And because of that, they followed Him more closely. And young people will only have a rich blessing, and will only have genuine happiness as we desire to have closer fellowship with our God. It ought to be our passion daily to get to know Him more. It ought to be the thing that we want to do, the thing that we want to find time for every day, is to spend some time with our God. You know, when you genuinely love somebody, you want to be with that somebody. I can never understand why it is that believers just don't want to spend time with God. It makes no sense to me. He loved us, and yet somehow we don't love Him. But you ask believers, do you love Him? Yeah, we love Him. Well, do you spend time with Him? Well, occasionally. So when you love somebody, you want to be with that somebody. You want to spend time with that somebody. I'm so sure Pastor O'Brien, like myself right now, just wants to spend time with our wives. And you can ring them and you can talk to them on the phone, but there's nothing quite like being with them. And as much as I like being with you, I like more being with her. That's what love does. And if we genuinely love our God, and if we genuinely want to be happy, if you want to have a truly happy life, then you need to spend time with God, and you need to get to know Him. And listen, you'll not grow in love for Him unless you spend time with Him. But true happiness comes by getting to know Him. The key to blessedness is that we must seek Him with all our heart, and all our soul, and all our mind. And this close fellowship will result in a godly walk. Look in verse 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. David's going to pick up this theme of not walking in iniquity when he asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God, as he's going to see in verse 9 tonight. But basically what David is saying is he looks at these people who are blessed, these people who are genuinely happy, and he inquires into what makes them happy, what's making them have a genuine joy, and he sees what it is, that it's this relationship with God, that there's this meditation upon the Word of God, and this meditation upon the God of the Word, and this relationship they have with their God. What he also notices about them is that as a result of that relationship with God, the consequences there, as verse 3 says, is they do no iniquity and they walk in His ways. You see, a relationship with God has an added benefit. You don't want to do iniquity. The desire to sin diminishes in relationship to our relationship with our God. The deeper our relationship with Him, the more passionate we are for Him, the less we desire the world, the flesh, and the devil. The deeper our passion and love for God, the more we walk in His ways. You see, they're natural results. You and I can struggle and strive all day long. You know, we make New Year's resolutions. You know, I'm not going to do that this year. And you can do that at camp. You can say, okay, when I get home from camp, I am not going to listen to this music. When I get home from camp, I'm not going to watch these things. When I get home from camp, I'm not going to do this with the Xbox. I'm not going to listen to my iPad and so on. All these things. You can say all that, but none of those things will come to pass simply by making the decision not to do them. You'll get home and it won't be long and you'll just go back to it. Because nothing's changed. You're still just as fleshly as you were when you came to camp. The only way, and this is the blessedness of it all, the way in which you and I can walk away from fleshly desire and sinful practice is simple. It's simply to turn our face towards God and seek to have an ever-increasing, growing relationship with Him. And as our love for God grows, as our relationship with Him gets deeper and deeper, what we find is that we're walking further and further away from the things that we want to leave behind. And indeed, they will be gone, because it says in the Word, it says they also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. It's a natural consequence of an ever-deepening relationship with God. That's how you get the victory. Not by making some decision at camp that when I get home, I'm not going to do it. It's by getting a deeper relationship with God. And as we grow in our fellowship to Him, these other things will go by the by, because they'll no longer appeal to us. What will appeal to us is simply knowing our God. We see David's, first of all, his admiration of these people. Secondly, notice David's aspiration. I've got a 3.A outline. I'll explain what aspiration means in a minute. Okay. Verse 4 and 5. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. David's admiration for those happy, holy people caused him to cry out in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. This is what he wants. He sees these happy, holy people and he says, I want it. Lord, you've commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. I know what you want me to do. Lord, I want to do it. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, he says. Our ways are by nature opposed to the way of God. And we must be turned by the Lord's direction, or they'll lead us to destruction. David's aspiration, if you like the word aspiration, is the word desire. David's desire here was for present holiness. David said, I want what they've got. I want that happiness. I want that holiness. I want to be like them. My heart yearns to be like them. My heart yearns to be holy. My heart grieves at my sin. I simply want to be what they are. I want that genuine blessedness. Oh Lord, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And that ought to be our desire. To be holy as He is holy. And that will only happen when we get a vision of God. Go to Isaiah chapter 6, please. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I've lost the book of Isaiah. There it is. Isaiah chapter 6. Notice what happens to Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the doors moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. He hears the seraphim singing, Holy, holy, holy. And at the voice of the one sitting upon the throne, when God speaks, the whole house begins to shake. Even the doorposts begin to shake at the very voice of Almighty God. And Isaiah cries out and he says, Woe is me, for I am undone. He basically says, I'm about to die. And then he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? Because mine eyes have seen the King in His glory. And when you and I get a vision of the King of Kings, when you and I have a relationship with Him, and we begin to understand the majesty, we begin to understand the glory, we begin to understand the holiness of Almighty God, it'll cause you and I to cry out with David, Oh, that my steps, my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Oh Lord, I want to be holy as Thou art holy. The world holds no appeal to me. I simply want to be holy. I don't want to walk in the way of the world. I want to walk according to your will. You know, young people, so often what we want to do is we want to walk as close to the fire without getting burnt as is possible. We want to walk and play with fire as much as possible. And so as Christians, we want to kind of tinker a little bit with the world. We're not going to do it, but we want to be there. We don't want to look too different from the rest of the world. So we want to walk close to the fire. And we don't want to get burnt, but boy, do we smell like smoke. We ought to want to walk way, way away from the fire. We ought to be wanting to walk so close to God that we're shining with the glory of God, that people can see Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we're different from the world, and the world is way over there, and we're way over here, because this is where God dwells. We are holy as He is holy. That's the place of happiness. This is standing next to the fire, having your hair singed, and having the smoke of the wickedness of the world upon you is not the place of genuine joy. It's simply a place of misery. We ought to cry with David, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Because that's how to be a happy person. Happy and holy. When you're holy, you're happy. And to be genuinely happy, you must be holy. People who are happy and holy tend to attract other people to be the same. That's the case here in Psalm 119. These happy, holy people are attracting David to want what they've got. You know, there are those in the world who are unhappy and unholy. And they usually end up destroying their own life. There are those who are happy and unholy. And they destroy the lives of others. Their happy, fun-loving spirit attracts people and leads them away from the Lord. There are those who are unhappy but holy. And they usually turn people from the Lord. Because his or her sour, strict, severe disposition isn't attractive to anybody. In fact, what they say is, the people say of them, if that's Christianity, then I don't want a part of it. And then there are those who are happy and holy. And the happy, holy people attract other people to themselves. And it was this crowd that influenced David here in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Happy, holy people. Who's your Christian hero? Or who is somebody you look up to as a believer? Let me put it another way. Who do you hang out with? Who are your friends? Are they happy, holy people? Or are they worldly? If they're worldly, they're not genuine friends. They really are not helping you one iota. And if you want to be happy and holy, if you want to be genuinely happy, you need to ditch those friends and you need to find yourself some friends who are holy. And they may well be the ones in the youth club that everyone else makes fun of because they're the nerdy ones, they're the oddballs, they're the strange ones. But listen, you know, if enough of you become like that person, then the youth club becomes a bunch of happy, holy people, and it's the oddballs are the ones who are worldly. And what will happen is you'll start to attract many of them because they'll want what you've got. Who are your friends? Who do you hang out with? You see, those worldly people will not bring genuine happiness. Once again, Pastor Hine talked about that this morning in his testimony. He got away from the Lord, got in with the wrong crowd, and you saw it in his face this morning as the tears welled down his cheeks. It was not a happy time in his life. The Lord just put it all together today. It was so wonderful. Ask him now if he's happy and holy. He probably not feels like he's holy, but he's happy. He's serving the Lord. There is no happier place. And those friends you have that are worldly, those friends that want you to do the things that are ungodly, those friends who are leading you away from having fun, those friends that sit with you in church and make fun of the preacher and distract you from the preaching of the word, they're not worth it. They're a waste of time. They're leading you away from happiness. They're leading you to a world of misery and destruction and sorrow. And one day you'll stand out with tears rolling down your face and you'll say, I wish I'd not got involved with those friends. Don't take time for them. Walk away from them. Find yourself some people who love the Lord and hang out with them and become happy, holy people to the glory of God. And you'll never regret it, young people. Sit at the front of the church, rather than the back of the church. Our young people in our church, this is no exaggeration, the young people in our church sit in the first three rows of the church. Always have. They never sit at the back. They always sit at the front. And as the children grow up and become teenagers, and we've just had two of them do that, they move forward, away from their parents, to sit with the teenagers up the front. I love it. It's amazing. I just as a pastor, it thrills my soul. And you watch a new kid get old enough to be a teen. I've been there long enough to see it. And you watch the child grow up and that child becomes a teenager. And then you see them ask their parents, can I sit with the teenagers? And you notice that the parents don't mind because they're sitting in front of them. Most churches, can I sit with the teenagers? Oh no, I don't want you to sit in the back. Our parents don't mind, they sit at the front. And then what you see is the teenagers sit at the front with their Bibles open. Because that's what all the teenagers do in my church. You know, shock your pastor on Sunday, those of you who like to sit at the back amongst your mates. Come forward, sit at the front, and I guarantee your pastor will wonder what's hit him. But it'll be the better place for you because you'll be able to hear the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, and you may find you start to enjoy the preaching of the Word. They're not genuine friends. Those that want to drag you away from the things of the Lord. A genuine friend is somebody who cares about your soul. Who really is interested in you as a believer or even as an unsaved person, who cares about your soul, not about how popular you or they can be. If you've got friends that don't put Christ first, then put them out of your life. Find some godly friends that help you live for Christ. Ask yourself the question, is he or she a happy, holy person? If not, walk away from them. You may find that when you walk away from them, they want to follow you to the same place you are, because they may have been as unmiserable as you are, but they've been afraid to walk away from you. Because friendship is greater than their desire to serve the Lord. We should desire to be like those who are like Christ. Those who are happy in the Lord and serving the Lord. Like David was here. He simply admired them. And he simply desired to be like them. Make them your examples. Not the ones who love the world. Make them your friends. David's admiration, David's aspiration or desire, and then lastly and quickly, David's affirmation. Verses 7 and 8. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. David's affirmation. Because David admires these happy, holy people. He aspires or desires to be like them, but then he goes one step further. He not only desires to be like them, but he makes a commitment to be like them. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. I will, he says. He affirms his desire. I will. I will praise thee. I shall have learned, when I have learned thy judgments, I will keep thy statutes. He didn't just admire these saints who are holy, who walked with the Lord that could be admired. He made a determination to do it, to be like them. When? He says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. David says, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go away and I'm going to study the Word of God. And when I've studied God's Word, then I will praise thee with uprightness and I will keep thy statutes. Lord, don't forsake me utterly. Just let me get this sorted out. And in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, as we're going to see tonight, he followed the blueprint for godly passion and a godly walk. He goes on to explain how he managed to be changed from being somebody who walked in worldliness, somebody who did not keep the statutes and judgment of the Lord, to somebody who was seeking to keep the statutes and judgment of the Lord. He explains how he goes about it, and we're going to come back tonight and see the second part of David, a man of solitude, and see how he does that. But if we're to be happy, holy people, and we can be, then we should admire holy people and we should be seek to be like those holy people. But we need to do more than admire godly people. We need more than to desire to be like them. We need a determination to be godly by following God's blueprint for godliness and holiness. But the first step to being happy, holy people, the first step to having a passion for God is recognizing you have a need for a passion for God. Verses 9 through 16 tonight will mean nothing to you unless you genuinely desire to have a passion for God. Unless you have a genuine desire to be a happy, holy person, verses 9 through 16 will mean nothing, for it starts with a desire. I wonder this morning you will acknowledge your need today for a godly passion? And if so, will you desire for God to speak to you tonight to help you to develop that passion? Do you want to be happy? Genuinely happy? Well, then seek to be holy. Have a passion for God.